You're up, we're up. It's the perfect match. Now it's on you to make the right decision while you're scrolling in bed. Head to 7-Eleven and grab a delicious chicken sandwich with 7 rewards at 7-Eleven. Crispy, craveable, and way better than settling for the same old, same old. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $4 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. Stopping sold separately while supplies last. Participating stores, see app for full terms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine conflict. The headlines in Europe out of London are as alarming as ever. Russia war latest. Putin's Arctic bombers launch wave of missiles at Ukraine. Or release of German tanks piles pressure on Macron. Or massive arms factory must be built in Poland to help Ukraine win war. Or intrigue. German double agent's courier, in quotes, arrested for passing information to Russia. I welcome Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He's in the United Kingdom. To observe the ironies of these headlines, we've wandered into a Hollywood apocalyptic movie in which all of the themes of the 20th century are being repeated. However, the violence here has ironies that we must attend to. Anatole has written recently about what it means to call for the total defeat, the destruction of the Russian army and by extension, the Russian state. Anatole, a very good day to you. These last days, there's been much attention to the drama of will or will not the German chancellor permit German equipment to enter directly into the Ukraine conflict. This turns on main battle tanks, but all of the attendant equipment to a tank battalion or a tank regiment, releasing the obligation of Poland and Finland and Spain and Norway to ask permission of Germany before it sends the German-built tanks to Ukraine. In general, this attention to armament, this suggests that the war is comfortable and escalating. Is that the way you read this, Anatole? Good day to you.
Well, it certainly is escalating, John, but it seems, to judge by recent stories in the New York Times and elsewhere, that the Biden administration is still aware of the potentially catastrophic ultimate results of escalation, because what the Times story said is that the Biden administration wants to help Ukraine sufficiently to be able credibly to threaten to capture the Crimea, but does not think that it can actually capture it. And what that also reflects is the fact that the Biden administration is aware that if Ukraine seemed to be in a position to capture Crimea, which is for Russia strategically vital and is also regarded by most Russians and most Crimeans as simply part of Russia, that is the biggest risk of all, and I'm told a very serious risk of Russia escalating towards nuclear war. Problem, of course, is, how do you allow the Ukrainians to seem to threaten Crimea without actually threatening it? There's an obvious contradiction here. If it comes to that, if, Western weapons help the Ukrainians to break through, would Washington be able to stop them at a given moment? So these, it seems to me, are things that our governments have not really thought out. The other thing to note, of course, is that immediately, and I mean immediately after the announcement of the delivery of the tanks or the promise to deliver tanks, the Ukrainian government came out and demanded F-16 fighters from America. Well, now, look, Ukraine has an absolute right to ask, given, what Russia has done. But, of course, if you supply Ukraine with the most up-to-date fighter jets, as you said, some of the latest wave of Russian missile attacks have been launched by Russian bombers from the Arctic, of course, but from over Russian territory. But it would be very hard and in a way even, of course, illegitimate to stop Ukrainians armed with F-16s from trying to shoot down those Russian bombers over Russia. Well, then, you know, one lurches another huge step of escalation. So, I mean, I have always said and continue to say that is absolutely right to help Ukraine defend itself against the Russian invasion. But this has to be linked to some sort of, you know, concrete political strategy for a negotiated end to the war.
You write that those who advocate the total defeat of Russia, which would be one way of retaking Crimea, or another way of launching strikes into Russia itself, the total defeat of Russia is justified by a descending reasons, descending thinking. And I want to go over that because it reviews the 20th century and every previous century, but really the 20th, because of the scale of weaponry and the vulnerability of civilian cities. The first reason for the total defeat of Russia, taking Crimea, throwing Putin out of the Kremlin, is that it's a defensive civilization. What is striking about that is I don't hear that language always, but when I do hear it, it's moralistic. It's not about military circumstances. It's about an ethical stance for something called civilization. Is that popular in Europe?
Well, it's widely popular. It's very popular indeed in Poland and the Baltic states for obvious historical reasons. But it is quite widespread. Yes, throughout Western Europe. And The Guardian, somewhat surprisingly, because The Guardian is a left-wing newspaper which has always been very critical of American imperialism and wars. But some of its leading commentators are saying this as well. And this is linked, as I said in my piece, to the allegation that Russia has committed genocide in Ukraine and is continuing to commit genocide, which, you know, frankly, if you look at the real genocides, the Nazi Holocaust, the genocide in Rwanda, I mean, clearly this is simply not the case. And as I also point out in my article, this is not viewed as the case in other parts of the world, including the Muslim world, where I lived for many years, who frankly, you know, cannot see, they see differences, but they do not see the same degree of difference between Russian behavior and past Western behavior in wars, including in some quite recent wars. So, but I think you see the point about this this allegation or charge or association is to suggest that if, you know, indeed the Russians are like the Nazis, it is both impossible but also completely immoral to think of negotiating any eventual compromise peace with them. Well, this ignores two things. The first is that, in the end, as indeed Biden and previously Zelensky himself have said, you know, the great majority of wars do end with some form of settlement, not with total victory. The analogy to the Nazis suggests that, you know, we can do something like 1945 and, you know, and march into Moscow. I mean, they don't say this, of course, but, you know, the belief that the total defeat of Russia will lead to a Western-driven democratization of Russia does suggest 1945. Well, what that ignores also, it's almost certainly impossible. B, you know, it was actually the Soviet army that marched into Berlin, not the Western ones. But also, it ignores the fact that, Hitler did not have nuclear weapons. As every sensible person has recognized since 1945, the appearance of nuclear weapons on the scene completely alters calculations about total victory, because total victory could, indeed, in my view, probably would involve the destruction of modern civilization, the deaths of billions of people. And that simply, you know, has to be factored in. That, of course, was one reason why the Bush administration in 1988 to 1992 was so careful, you know, not to seem to be deliberately driving the disintegration of the Soviet Union and the destruction of the Soviet state. Because in those days, U.S. policymakers, but also the educated public, were well aware of the danger of nuclear war if you tried to destroy a nuclear-armed state. And I'm happy to say that leading officials of the Biden administration do still understand that danger. But I'm afraid that a large part of the commentariat in America and Europe appears to have forgotten it completely.
I'm speaking with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, an article he's published at Quincy, and observing where we are in the conflict in Ukraine, which is escalating via the arsenal of democracy and also the arsenal built in Europe. There are other reasons why people are advocating the total destruction of the Russian army and by consequence, the Russian state. And when we come back, Anatole asks in his essay, why, if Russia is such a threat to civilization or to NATO or to Ukraine, that it must be destroyed? Has much of the global South stayed out of the conflict? This is CBS Eye on the World.